I need you to bring Dr. Cardenas's dossier up to date.
Up to date?
I thought we had complete file on her. Morgenthau tapped at the handheld resting on her desk. Cardenas's file and photo appeared above it. Morgenthau scrolled down rapidly, the words blurring before Holly's eyes. It made no difference. Holly remembered the complete file, word for word, from her first reading of it. There is a break in her record. She ran the nanolab at Cellini for several years and then abruptly quit. A few months later, she went to Ceres, but she did not engage in nanotechnology research there, as far as the record shows. I want you to clear this up with her.
Holly said, "It doesn't seem that cosmic, does it?"
With a hardening expression, Morgenthau said, "My dear Holly, everything about nanotechnology is important. Something happened to abruptly change Cardenas's career. She quit nanotech work for several years, and now she wants to resume her research here among us. Why? What is she up to?"
"Okay," Holly said. "I'll call her."
"Invite her out to lunch. She refuses, go to her lab, and don't leave until she's explained herself to you."
"You make it sound like a police investigation. Perhaps it should be."
Wondering why Morgenthau was so worked up, Holly said, "Kay, I'll give her a call before I go out." Raising a chubby finger, Morgenthau said sternly, "Now, Holly, I want this done now. Have lunch with her now, today. I want your report about this in Cardenas' dossier first thing tomorrow morning." Holly's first inclination was to tell Morgenthau to jump out an airlock without a suit. But then she realized that the woman had never been so flaming insistent on anything before. She's really notched up about this, Holly realized. Maybe this nanotech stuff is scarier than I thought.
Don Diego straightened up slowly, painfully. "The back is a weak spot," he told himself, trying to rub the stiffness away. "If we ever get to the point where we can truly redesign the human body, much attention will have to be paid to improving the back." He walked slowly, carefully along the sloping embankment of the canal. The ache was in the small of his back where his hands could not easily reach. He sighed. "At least this stretch of the canal is nearly finished," he said to himself. He stopped and admired the haphazard growth of flowering bushes. "Perhaps some cactus along the next stretch of the canal," he thought. "I wonder if there is any cactus available in the habitat." He had expected Holly to join him. She had said she'd be out this afternoon. He wanted her to see how well this little bit of wilderness was shaping up. Someone stepped out from behind a tree, up at the edge of the culvert, and walked slowly down the dirt slope toward him. A tall, gangling black man with a shaved scalp and a thin beard tracing his jawline. His polished boots will be tarnished by the soil, Don Diego thought. "Good afternoon to you," he called to the stranger in English. "What brings you to this quiet place?" The stranger smiled brightly. "You are Diego Romero of the communications department?" "I am he," said Don Diego, thinking that this man must be from the office. Someone must be complaining about his long absences. "Or might you be from the maintenance department?" he asked, almost timidly. The black man stepped closer, still smiling. "No, you have nothing to fear on that score."
As ordered, Holly was having lunch with Chris Cardenas in the bistro, but it wasn't going well. "I know it's sort of prying," she said apologetically, "but my boss is clanked up about nanotech, and there's this kind of gap in your dossier." Cardenas put her fork down and took a sip of lemonade. Then she looked out across the tables scattered across the grass, most of them empty, and finally returned her gaze to Holly. Her brilliant blue eyes looked sad, not angry. They seemed to be looking beyond Holly, peering into a painful past. "I don't want it on the record," she said. "I'll tell you about it, but only if you promise to keep it out of my dossier." Holly was about to agree when she realized, "I'll have to tell my boss about it." Cardenas shook her head. "Then forget it. I'll tell you about it, Holly, but I don't want it to go any farther.
If you tell your boss, they won't let me do any nanotech work here.
Why not?
Because I helped to kill a man, Cardenas said, flat and hard and cold. Holly felt her jaw drop open.
I didn't do it on purpose, Cardenas explained, but what I did was bad enough.
As if an emotional dam had burst, Cardenas told Holly her entire story, how she'd been exiled at Selene, unable to return to Earth because of the nanobugs swarming inside her body, how her husband had refused to come up to the moon, how her children turned against her, how she had never seen her grandchildren, her anger, her pain and tears, and the bitter, searing rage against the fools and self-satisfied know-nothings who used the people's fear of nanotechnology to destroy her life. She told Holly of Martin Humphreys's offer. He said he'd help me get back to Earth if I helped him sabotage a rival's spacecraft. God knows he was rich enough to buy anything. I thought he'd help me. I didn't think damaging a spacecraft would cause a man's death, so I let Humphreys buy me, and his biggest rival died when the spacecraft malfunctioned.
Did you ever get back to Earth? See your family?
Holly asked, her voice low, hollow.
Never, Cardenas said.
When I heard that Dan Randolph had died because of what I'd done, I told Selene's leaders everything. I even tried to commit suicide, but I flubbed that. My punishment was to be locked out of Selene's nanotech lab. So I went out to Ceres, to the frontier, and worked with the rock rats for years. No nanotech work. I swore I'd never do any nanotech research again.
But you're doing it now, here.
Cardenas nodded, still dry-eyed, but looking as if the weight of the world was crushing her.
I'd decided I'd done enough penance. I can help you people here. I want to start my life over again.
Holly murmured, sort of like me.
We're two of a kind, in a way.
I guess. Cardenas fixed her with those bright blue eyes of hers.
So, what are you going to tell your boss?
Holly didn't have to think for even a millisecond.
Nothing, she said.
I'll just say that you decided of your own free will to go to Ceres and work with the rock rats, which isn't really a lie, is it?
For the first time, Cardenas smiled.
No, it's not a lie. It's not the truth, not the whole truth, at least, but it's not a lie.
Still smiling, Kananga stepped to within arm's reach of Don Diego.
No, I'm not from the maintenance department, he repeated.
I plan to inform the maintenance department of my work here, Don Diego said. But I haven't. With the swiftness of a pouncing leopard, Kananga punched the old man squarely in his solar plexus. Don Diego collapsed with barely a sound. Kananga caught the old man in his arms and lifted him easily. No drag marks, he thought. No evidence of foul play. He carried the gasping, dazed Don Diego down the dirt embankment to the concrete edge of the canal. The old man coughed and moaned. His legs moved feebly. His eyes fluttered open. Kananga knelt and pushed him face down into the canal, holding the back of his head carefully, almost tenderly, to keep him in the water. Don Diego sputtered a bit, flailed weakly, then went limp. The water bubbled a little, then became still. Kananga continued to hold him, counting slowly to 100 before he let go. Satisfied that Diego Romero was dead, Kananga got to his feet. Not bad, he thought, looking around. No gouges in the dirt, no scuff marks on the concrete, no signs of a struggle. No one will ever know.
Saturn arrival, minus 333 days.
Holly discovered the body. She left Cardenas at the bistro and headed out to the canal where Don Diego had been working. At first she saw no sign of him. Then she spotted his body sprawled down at the bottom of the embankment, half underwater. She did not scream. She did not even cry until hours later, in the privacy of her own quarters,
long after she had dragged the old man's body out of the canal and the